Pain. I've felt pain. He's felt pain. That dude's felt pain.
What? No, I haven't felt any pain.
We've all felt pain, because you know what they say. The only things truly guaranteed in life is death and pain.
Wait, what about taxes?
Wait, what?
Is this chains for real?
No. And I hate to be all controversial here, but pain? That shit hurts, bro. Specifically, the little shit that just does one damage has no business hurting so bad. Like stubbing your toe or biting your tongue or fucking paper cuts. Like, that shit shouldn't even hurt, bro. It's paper. It's not scary. Oh, shit. And I still remember the first time in my life I ever took some real damage and felt some real pain. And it was back when I was 4 years old. Which meant I was still learning the controls of life and shit. Like, yeah, I could run, but it was low-key like watching a dude play Fall Guys. If he was drunk and fried and asleep. But regardless, one day I was bored doing 4-year-old shit, and then I seen my arch nemesis,
a fucking chair,
and I instantly knew what had to be done. I had to assert my athletic dominance by running and jumping over this chair. So I take a deep breath, I run up, jump, and clear this chair clean as hell. Now keep in mind, I was 4 years old, so that was probably the coolest shit I'd ever done in my entire life. So you know I had to show my mom to make her proud of the man I've become. Hey mom, watch this.
What the hell are you doing, Chains?
Hey man, just watch and learn. Oh shit. I fucking ate it, bro. Like, that was the type of pain that hits so hard you can fucking taste it, and damn, that shit tasted ass, bruh. Like, have you ever taken a soccer ball straight to the schnoz? Cause that shit will have you smelling pain, tasting pennies, and seeing tears. Which is bad, but like, who the fuck invented the funny bone, bruh? Cause that shit ain't funny. Like, bro, you can't just call some painful ass shit funny and expect it to be humorous.
No, the bone is called a humerus.
Yeah, shut up. How humorous is this, buddy?
Not humorous.
Yeah, that's what I thought. In fact, I think it's the opposite of humorous. Like, yo, did you guys know 1 in 4 dudes is gay?
Wait a minute.
Gee, I sure hope it's Owen, because he's sexy as hell.
Yeah. Y'all hit the funny bone too?
Yeah, I did.
If I had a pain tier list that went from shit ain't nothing to... I'd probably rate hitting your funny bone a solid. It's the same as stubbing your toe real hard. Like, you just need a moment to take a few deep breaths and say a few slurs, and that shit just heals itself. But if we're looking at some top tier, brutal, agonizing, excruciating pain, getting kicked in the balls. Now for you 19.8% female audience, I know you might not be able to understand what this feels like. So let me just give you a quick overview. Imagine having balls, right? Now imagine getting kicked in them. That shit hurts like a bitch. I remember one time in grade 6, me and my homies were playing a good old game of soccer. And we were playing with the big homie. I mean the really big homie. Like, the dude had more chins than a Chinese phone book. Like, last time we went to a restaurant, bro looked at the menu and said, okay. And I couldn't even tell you how big he really is, cause last time he stepped on the scale, it said, one at a time please. So what I'm trying to say is, he was a big dude, and big dudes got big legs, and big legs produce hard kicks. And during this grade 6 soccer game, I unfortunately found myself leg spread wide. Wide open, freshly dropped testes exposed to this absolute unit, wound up to kick the ball, and well, pain. Just pain, bruh. Followed by a moment of silence from everyone on the field. And I don't know if the moment of silence was for me, or for my next generation of kids the big homie just wiped out, but I felt that shit. And I felt it in my stomach. And there was really only one sound I was able to make in that moment. Now I know what a lot of you guys are thinking.
Getting kicked in the balls is nothing compared to childbirth. Childbirth is so much worse.
This guy's a misogynist. And no. I don't give people massages. And I might be the first to tell you this, but I've experienced both getting kicked in the balls and childbirth. And honestly, childbirth wasn't even that painful at all for real. But to be fair, it was probably a little worse for my mom, so like... Now we all know physical pain very well, but what do you call that deep, torturous pain you feel when your dog dies? In Minecraft, that's that psychological pain, like the pain you feel when you're watching a banger YouTube video and an ad interrupts you out of knowledge. Or like the pain you feel when you just got done making some toast and peanut butter and that shit flops on the floor face first. It doesn't hurt physically, it hurts spiritually. Like, there really is levels to this shit, bro, because now when you start adding psychological pain onto the physical pain of things, we gotta start adding new tiers to this tier list. Because imagine peacefully sleeping in your bed and you get woken up to the pain of your girlfriend kicking you in the balls, which of course hurts physically, but then you realize you don't even have a girlfriend and you live alone. So just to knock a few more off this tier list, a razor scooter to the shin. Stepping on Lego is a solid. Now getting socked in the face is an interesting one, because that shit can range anywhere from all the way to getting the sonic range knocked out of you. And if that shit's a good enough punch, you might not even feel anything. Now for the tier, I would say that's the shit where you just take one damage, like eating some food that's too hot, or getting a brain freeze, or when you're laying in bed with your phone and that shit slaps you across the face. Like, it's just minus one HP, and minus five IQ. And if anyone's seen that shit, it's probably a lifetime dead of aura. Now I'ma keep it a stack. For something to be in the shit ain't nothing tier, it's just gotta be a good ass day, bro. Like, some days I'll just be feeling invincible, bro. Like, wake up, roll out of bed. Shit ain't nothing. Eat a nice hot breakfast.
Shit ain't nothing.
Stub my toe while simultaneously getting socked in the face. Shit ain't nothing. Get a bad phone call.
Yeah, Chains. This is Dr. D's. I'm sorry to break the news to you, but, you know, you tested positive for chlamydia.
Hey, man. Shit ain't nothing. Oh, shit. Who's this?
Yeah, I wasn't finished. You also tested positive for herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, hepatitis. You got a whole ecosystem on your shit. Honestly, at this point, our best bet is just to chop that thing clean off.
Shit ain't nothing.
No, yeah, no. No, it's definitely something. We're chopping your meat off.
Yeah, but on some days, bruh, it's just like... Yeah, nah, that's it. I quit. I'm done. I'm going to sleep. Good night. And I know this might sound like some freaky ass shit, but I feel like some pain low-key feels good, bro. Like, in school, I used to always put the front chair legs on my feet just to feel the pain. Or even, like, eating some spicy ass food, or like...
Oh, yeah, or like, getting spanked.
Yeah, no?
The
no?
Fuck?
Nah. Nah, I was thinking something more like taking a really hot shower, or like...
Getting
like,
whipped!
No?
Yo, George, shut the fuck up, bro. I'm trying to make a video and
sorry,
shit.
Sorry, my fault, pimp. My fault.
Yeah, alright. Or what about when you, like,
getting
you...
slapped in the face?
Bro, shut the fuck up.
Hey, yo!
Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, leprechauns, unicorns, two pretty best friends, and love.
They don't exist, bro.
I've looked far and wide. I've searched the depths of the valleys and the highs of the mountains. And yet still, one of the friends always gotta be chopped, bro. But love too, though, man. I've searched everywhere. I've scoured my hometown. I've gone from the coast of Mexico to the cities of Japan. But one way or another, I always just end up with nobody to love. Or I end up getting robbed by gay homeless, dude. I mean, I was down bad, bruh. It got to the point I thought maybe I just wasn't meant to find a girlfriend. Maybe this was just a face only a mother could love.
Ew, get that shit off the screen.
What? Mom!
So I hopped on a flight to Barcelona, and this story takes place a few weeks ago. It's a new continent, new city, with new people, and maybe even a new girlfriend. And so as soon as I stepped foot on that Spanish soil, I downloaded Tinder and got the swiping, bro. Fine shit, swipe right. Cute shit, swipe right. Chop shit. Swipe right, bruh, it's a numbers game. I done swiped so much my thumb had a six-pack and I ran out of girls to swipe on. But shit, I mean, it's a numbers game. And since I pulled up solo dolo, I went and checked into a hostel. Now, if you don't know what a hostel is, it's pretty much like a little hotel, except you share your room with like six other motherfuckers. But to be fair, you save a lot of money. And I low-key don't mind sleeping with some random dudes if it means I get some extra change in my pocket, you know what I'm saying?
Is 15 enough?
Nah, the hostel is like 30-something.
Oh, nah, I don't need a hostel.
What?
Wait, no, not like that, bro.
Anyway, sleeping in that hostel was fucking crazy, bro. Like, first night I got there, I hopped in my little twin bunk bed and closed the curtains, and everyone was like,
all right, good night, boys.
Sweet dreams.
Love you, motherfuckers.
Love you too,
love y'all, motherfuckers.
Yo, motherfucker on the top right bunk, say it back.
Good night.
And?
I love you.
Love you too, bro. Lights out.
So the sun came up and my ass didn't get a drop of sleep. But regardless, I got out of bed, got some coffee, explored the city, hit the beach, got some food, all the normal shit you do when you're in a new city. But after a long day of tourist shit, I went back to my room. I went back to our room. I hopped in my little bunk bed and prepared myself to open up Tinder after letting that shit cook for a solid 24 hours. And when I opened that shit up, yo, I got 28 matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, bro. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Now, I'm gonna keep it a buck. Initially, that number 28 was looking mad nice until I clicked that shit and started looking through my matches and realized, yo, this shit is not a numbers game, bro. Like, you know you're cooked when the chuds are sliding on you saying shit like, hey, yo, I'm trying to put you in chains for real and then touch your stick, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm deleting this shit, bro.
And just as I'm about to give up on my dreams of finding my other half, I get a new match. It's Yvonne, straight dime, certified fine shit, bro. I had to slide in with some heat. So I'm like, Yvonne? Nah, more like King Vaughn, because I'm trying to take you to the O. Of marriage. Now that would be a crazy story. Opening bracket featuring Lil Durk, closing bracket. And before I send her some absolute bullshit like that, she hits me with a hey.
Oh yeah, no, that works. What's up? How are you?
Great, how are you?
And we end up having a marvelous conversation. We share a bunch of beliefs, perspectives, and above all, we got the same taste in music. So I'm like, you free tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm free tomorrow.
What's your favorite food?
I'm a drinks type of girl.
Say less, I know a place. I don't know shit. I literally just got here, bro.
Okay, see you tomorrow.
And just like that, I just got myself a date.
I'm coming.
Nah, you can't come. It's my date, bro. Oh, hell no.
So that night, I did a little research and found the coolest bar in Barcelona. But when I went to make a reservation online, they only do in-person virtual queues. So instead, I went to sleep. So the next day, I woke up with some pep in my goddamn step. I looked at some fire architecture. I hit a mean leg day. Ate some gas Spanish food. And before I knew it, it was time to get ready for my date. So I hopped in the shower, put on my toughest fit, sprayed on a little Valentino, hopped into Uber, and arrived at the bar 30 minutes early. So this way, I could join the virtual queue in order to get into the bar at 9 p.m. sharp. So I'm waiting outside and find shit. Messages me like,
yo, I'ma be a little bit late, I'm still doing my hair.
And I'm all like, that's no problem, I know some people, I can make some calls, don't worry about it. So I walk up to the security out front like, yo, so fine shit says she's gonna be a little bit late, can I change the time or something?
Nah, bro, just rejoin.
I bet. So I rejoin, go sit outside and wait, and then I get another text message.
I'm so sorry, but my makeup took longer than I thought, so I'ma be a little extra late.
So I walk up, rejoin the queue, and security's like,
yo, what's going on?
It's nothing. Fine shit's makeup took a little longer than expected, you know.
Hey, listen, man, this fine shit of yours, you sure she's even coming?
Nah, yeah, nah, of course, that's fine shit, she's coming. So I go back and sit down outside, but looking back, I definitely gave her the benefit of the doubt, but that was her first red flag. So now it's about 9:40 p.m. and I get a text message from Yvonne that reads, I'm here. So I go to link with Yvonne for the moment of truth, whether or not I'm about to go on a date with fine shit or 50-year-old neck bearded catfish shit. And fortunately for me, no catfish.
James.
Yo.
Hey.
What's up? Now the virtual queue still had 10 minutes before we could get in, so we go and sit down outside and have a little chat. And it's a great conversation. We got a lot to talk about and the vibes are there.
So you could travel to Barcelona alone. What do you do? Is it daddy's money?
Yeah, it's daddy's money.
Ah, okay, interesting.
But I'm daddy.
Yeah, no, I need to drink some alcohol.
Yeah, no, me too. My phone beeps and it's our turn to go inside, but this is no regular bar. So I'm like, yo,
Just follow me.
So we enter this pastrami shop. I open the fridge. We go inside and we go through this tunnel that leads us to the bar.
We order our drinks and continue talking.
Okay, so if it's not daddy's money, then what do you do?
And so obviously, I just told her, like,
OnlyFans.
You're lying.
I am dead ass serious. My meat is all over the worldwide net.
What? No way. Show me.
Oh, shit. Like, nah, shit. Maybe after a few drinks, you know what I'm saying?
And right on time, our drinks showed up, and my shit
was radioactive, bro. Like, here's a picture. There are no filters or effects on that shit, and I'm not gonna lie, it tasted exactly how it looked.
But regardless, I'm tanking that shit, and I don't know what it is, but that shitty-ass drink was giving me superpowers, bro.
That shit had me cooking up the greatest answers to her questions possible, bro.
Okay, so if you had one wish, what would it be?
Damn, that's a good question. Shit. Okay, if I had one wish...
Mm-hmm.
Period cramps.
What?
I would rid the world of period cramps, man. I hate the fact that they exist. Just even thinking about it, like, ooh. Ooh, they sure do get me riled up, man. I hate them.
Wait. Me too.
Nah, that's crazy. We have so much in common.
And from that moment on, I could tell she took down her guard and got comfortable. Cause she started saying shit like,
this guy from my school is obsessed with me and he won't stop snapping me.
Damn. Maybe she should stop responding or some shit.
She snaps a picture of us and captions that shit.
He getting it and you not. Lol.
Red flag number two. What kind of anime villain origin story are you trying to create for this motherfucker, bro?
But I digress.
We order the second round of drinks. But as she's sipping that shit, I can hear an accent starting to form in her speech. So I'm like,
yo, where's this accent coming from?
Oh yeah, nah, when I drink, my French accent starts coming out.
And I kid you not, she went from one drink sounding like,
yeah, so my favorite food is pasta?
To drink four, dead ass talking like,
actually, I changed my mind. My favorite food is croissant.
Shawty turned from fine shit to French shit so fast, I didn't even know who I was on a date with at this point. And then she hits me with a,
I'll be right back.
She grabs my face and hits my ass with a big ass smooch. Now that shit took me aback. I was not expecting it. However, maybe it's just a culture thing. Maybe it's normal for her. So I can't say that it's a real red flag. So she's still in the game.
And when she comes back, she's like,
yo, James, let's go to the beach.
Say less. So we're walking down to the beach and she says some shit like,
so when's the next date?
Oh, it's on Saturday at 6 p.m.
Oh no, I'm not free on Saturday.
Oh, you mean date with you? Yeah, nah, this is the last one. Now I said it as a joke, but she wanted to get all mad and shit and storm off. Now in this situation, I have two options. Option A is chase after her and beg her to stay. And option B is standing there like an absolute peak male specimen to the point the gravitational pull of my testosterone retrieves her back to the very location she left. And I went with option B. And she came back, bruh.
You're supposed to chase after me. It's like a French thing.
Ah, okay. I'm not French, bruh. So we continue with our walk, and I'm cracking jokes, entertaining her and shit. But honestly, that little stunt shorty pulled back there was red flag number three for me, bro. So at this point, I'm not in it for the game of love. I am simply just in it for the love of the game, bruh. So we arrive at Barceloneta Beach. We sit down, and at this point, it's about 1 a.m., but we're still chatting, having a good time. But out of the corner of my eye, I see a man hooded up, walking towards us from the darkness. And as bro's approaching, I'm ready for anything. I'm getting ready to take a stand, throw some hands, get in the sand. Should I even go band for band? But if this dude gets any closer, I'd be damned, and this motherfucker hits us with a drive-by compliment.
You have a very beautiful girlfriend.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you?
Damn, do you think he'll find a girlfriend beautiful like me?
Yeah, nah, he seems like a great dude. I'm sure he could find somebody.
What?
I said, yeah, nah, he seems like a nice fella. This girl slaps the shit out of me and says,
you're supposed to say nobody's as beautiful as me.
Bro. In this moment, I had never been so unattracted to a girl in my life. Am I tripping? Or did you just slap the shit out of me?
And then she tries to kiss me again, talking about...
I'm sorry.
Nah.
What? Now what?
And even after getting my shit absolutely Will Smith, I'm still trying to be polite. Like,
listen, I don't kiss girls on the first date.
You don't kiss girls on the first date?
Yeah.
So, you're telling me for a living, your occupation is laying down that pipe on film and then proceeding to post it online and you can't kiss me?
Type shit.
And she storms off, bro, but I know exactly what to do to solve this problem, so why stand there like an absolute peak male specimen to conjure up that same gravitational pull?
And she's still walking, bro. She just kept walking. She got on the bus. She dipped, bro. She left. Damn.
And as the bus disappears in the distance, I hear a motherfucker say,
"Yo, you from here?"
Nah, I'm just visiting.
Oh shit, okay, us too. You know where the good clubs are at?
Yeah, I mean, I heard all the good ones are like right there, bro.
Oh shit, bet. Okay, we're about to go hit those if you're trying to pull up, bro.
Say less. So these two random ass dudes I just met and I start heading to the club together and I'm like,
"Yo, where you guys from, by the way?"
"We're from France."
"Yo, that's crazy. I just had a date with a French girl."
"Oh, no way. How'd it go?"
"Ah, shit. You know, I think it went pretty good."
That's what's up, yeah.
So why's your cheek so red?
"Oh, I mean, she just slapped the shit out of me."
"Wait, she what?"
"Nah, I mean, it's probably just a French thing, you know what I'm saying?"
Nah, not a French thing, you just got assaulted.
Aw, shit. So me and the new French homies pull up to the club and it's jumping, bruh. We start taking shots, shooting shots, airballing shots, and then I get a bunch of voice messages from Yvonne talking about,
"All the good feelings I had for you are gone. You are a literal piece of shit. Go get AIDS filming for OnlyFans, bitch."
Oh, hell no.
Wait, respond.
And I'm drunk as hell trying to say a nice response. Like, you know, like, it's really like, it really is the type of shit where like type shit. Like,
and the French homies take my phone and start cooking her ass in French.
Now, I didn't understand a single word that came out of their mouths, but it sounded like homies just dropped a career-ending diss track on her. And I say that because as soon as she opened it, she blocked my ass, bruh.
Hey, bruh, you know what they say.
What do they say?
Getting blocked's a whole lot better than getting cocked.
What? There is no way they say that.
Yo, three-man alert.
So the two homies start laying down that French wrist, and that shit hits so hard, I just got a free entry, bruh.
Hey, English, room for one more?
So the six of us absolutely fucked the club up, went out for some 4 a.m. churros dipped in chocolate, and man, that shit hit harder than Yvonne, bro.
So at the end of the day, even if I didn't end up finding love in Barcelona, there is one thing I did find.
I did find out how Chris Rock felt, god damn.
Middle school is just an awkward place, bro. Like, middle school dances, awkward. Middle school speeches, awkward. And middle school relationships, in my experience, is the most awkward thing on the face of this planet. I mean, the girl's a whole foot taller, got a deeper voice, and shit, she could probably bench more than you, little bro. Like, I hate to break it to you, but you don't got a girlfriend. You are the girlfriend, bruh. Middle school just occurs at the craziest time in a teenager's life, cause motherfuckers is just getting slapped by puberty out of nowhere. You'll be walking down the halls and see a bunch of kids who look fresh out of daycare. Then all of a sudden you'll see a grown ass man built like Shaquille O'Neal thumping his way down to math class. And attendance in middle school was looking like,
"Matthew?
Here.
George?
Present.
Daisy?
Here.
Owen?
Here."
Dude's balls would be dropping halfway through presenting their speech, like,
"And this is specifically why
dinosaurs went extinct."
And in middle school, nobody had drip. Like, dudes would be showing up to school in a neon green t-shirt paired with some bright red shoes looking like a fucking traffic light. Well, their haircuts looking like their barber cut their shit with one hand, well blindfolded. But to be fair, everyone had a shitty haircut in middle school, bro. And if you think your cut wasn't that bad in middle school, chances are your shit's probably still ass to this day. And just to make things worse, the cherry on top is that everybody's got acne. There's just all these hormones flying around and these kids have no clue what to do with them. Which is exactly why middle school beef is unmatched, bro. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands for no reason at all. And I don't know how, but somehow even the fights were awkward. It would be like, "Hey pal, I heard you sat beside my crush in class today. So what? You wanna fight about it?"
I mean, like, if you wanted to.
That, like, I'm not scared. Like, yeah, we can fight.
Okay, let's freaking go, pussy.
Fuck, I wasn't ready.
Sorry, was that too soon?
No shit, Sherlock.
Okay, you can hit me back so we're even.
But if two dudes were throwing hands and their crush is watching, they're about to fight to the death. But the thing is about middle school fights, I didn't know this was possible, but somehow both motherfuckers end up losing the fight. I remember one lunch at my middle school, a dude whipped out some boxing gloves for no reason at all, and all of a sudden we're running a whole fight club. Kids would be betting their lunch money on who's gonna win and shit, but we never laid down any ground rules. So one day, JJ hit Timmy with a spinning back fist and put his ass to sleep. And I'm hyped, cause I just doubled my lunch money. But Mr. Principal didn't seem too hyped to see one of his students knocked out on the ground. So of course JJ gets in trouble, cause he's just that one kid who's always in trouble but never got expelled. Like, I could have swore dude was on his third strike 5 strikes ago. But man, middle school had some characters, bro. There was that one guy that would walk through the halls blasting music on his speaker, the kid who used to sit in his chair like this, the dude who hit puberty and midlife at the same time.
Mr. Donaldson, can I get some help on the subtraction?
Help on the subtraction? You look more like you need help on your taxes.
No, subtraction's just hard for me.
During recess, do you go check on the wife and kids?
No, I just play on the monkey bars.
Tell me, how do you manage to be in middle school and work a 9-to-5 job at the same time?
The girl who thinks she's a horse, the emo kid, catch him in the back of the class with his hoodie tied up watching sad Bart Simpson edits, the kid who had to touch the top of the door frame before entering a room, girls who have to bring their Starbucks cup everywhere, the dude who's constantly emoting, and in order to find the answer, we can make a grid.
Did someone say gritty?
Right foot creep. Ooh, walking with that heat. Of course, there's the kid who Naruto runs through the hallway. And then there's that weird-ass kid who accidentally called his social studies teacher mom one time. It was probably an accident, though. Fuck! And I have no idea why, but there's something about teaching middle school that had all these teachers going through a midlife crisis. I remember one day our science teacher was teaching us about rainbows. Does anyone know what a rainbow is?
Yes, Jaden.
Refraction of light through water droplets.
Oh, wow. That's right. How did you know that?
Reddit.
Oh, okay. Where did you read it?
Reddit.
Yeah, but where did you read it?
Reddit.
Jaden, I can't do this right now. Just tell me where you found this information.
Reddit?
God damn it, Jackson. You're the reason my children get their shit whooped every night.
Now, I don't know what she had going on in her life, but the way she broke down talking about beating her children to a group of 12-year-olds really gave me the impression that she shouldn't be teaching middle schoolers, bro. And I don't know who was in charge of hiring these teachers, but I also had a deaf teacher. Which, you know, is cool and all, but it did make it a little bit harder considering the fact that, you know, she was the fucking music teacher, not to mention the fact that she was also half blind. And I think the idea there was that she could somehow feel the vibrations of the guitar or something, which didn't seem to work too well considering the fact that I got a fucking A in music and I can't play the guitar for shit. But I smelled good or something, I don't know. And I don't know about y'all's experiences, but I feel like kids were just mad touchy in middle school. Like, you'd be sitting in math class, minding your own business, then for no reason at all, a motherfucker would tase you in the side of the ribs. And I remember when kids first learned about these pressure points, it was all fun and games. Someone would just poke you in the ribs, like, pressure point, that tickles. Then there would be a new pressure point dropping every week. It got to the point where these 12-year-olds were hitting pressure point combinations and paralyzing your legs and shit. Hey, bro, let me try this new pressure point on you.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
Ah, it tickles. And it was the same shit with this game. Like, you really couldn't trust anybody, bro.
Yo, what's that on my legs?
Shit.
Got him.
Oh, shit, there's a bug on you.
God damn it.
Dumbass.
Oh, fuck, I just broke my leg.
Bro, I'm not stupid. You didn't just break your leg.
No, I'm serious, bro. I promise, on everything, on my entire life, I just broke my leg. Look.
Bro, I remember I got punched so many times, my arm was on life support, it was about to fall off, like, and thinking back to middle school, there's just so many things that make me cringe, bro, but by far the cringiest of them all is the relationships, man. And believe it or not, I had my fair share of middle school relationships. I remember one day I was sitting in class and this girl came up to me and said,
"Chains, I have a crush on you."
And that's really all it took to have a young Chains in love. Head over heels. We went to the movies together. We went to my house and watched movies. We went to her house and we also watched movies. Now that I think about it, all we really did was watch movies. We didn't really talk that much. I mean, I didn't really have a way with my words at the age of 12.
So, do you like movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like movies too. That's why we're here, at the movie theater. I also like popcorn, with the butter. It tastes, I like how it tastes.
And one day we went to the mall and I took a good look at my girlfriend of 2 weeks and thought, man, I don't even know this girl. Like, who are you? I remember we were inside Zoomies at the time and I said,
hey, Jessica, you're a great person and all, but I don't really think we're compatible like that. Maybe we should just break up.
Which was probably the most words I've strung together during the entirety of our relationship. And she says with the straightest face,
oh, okay.
And then we proceeded to walk out of the mall and bus home together without saying a word. And I remember lying in my bed that night and thinking to myself,
damn, I think I'm supposed to be sad right now.
So I threw on my hoodie, tied it up, and watched some sad Bart Simpson edits. I'm not gonna lie, I think everybody wants to be cool. Like, being cool is just like it's just cool, bro. Like, there's nothing like it. And I know some of y'all are thinking, Chains, with all due respect, bro, how do you know what it's like to be cool? And my answer to that is just look at me, bro. I fucking don't, okay? But I do know someone who is cool. He's a certified cool guy, and his name is Bob. Now what makes Bob so cool? Is it the sunglasses? Is it the sexy ass face? No. Tell him the answer, Bob. He doesn't talk. The answer is Bob doesn't talk. And a crucial role in being cool is the element of mystery. Now it's interesting because if we take a look at Jake over here, Jake doesn't talk either and I mean, me personally, you know, I don't really think Jake's that cool. So that means to be cool, you can't just stop talking. I mean, I remember one time I thought if I threw in some earbuds and stopped talking to motherfuckers, everyone would see me as some cool, mysterious guy in the shadows. And I'm not even gonna lie, I was walking through the halls feeling like Batman. I could even see the people talking about how cool I was. Come to find out, it was more like, does this kid even talk?
Nah, I don't think so.
Yo, what's up with this kid?
I'm pretty sure he's autistic or something.
Cause the truth is, there's a very distinct difference between Bob's silence and Jake's silence. I mean, Jake didn't talk cause he would probably get his ass beat for literally anything that comes out of his mouth. But Bob, on the other hand, doesn't talk cause he doesn't have to talk. Like, watch this.
Oh my god, Bob!
I love you, Bob!
Now just for science reasons, let's just see what happens when I do the same thing, you know? Why not? What's the worst that could happen? Hello? Can I help you?
Oh my god, help. There's this creepy.
Damn. At least she didn't.
Get on the ground! Behind your back, buddy!
Now, it's important to note that being cool is subjective. Like, for example, some people think I'm cool, you know? Like, in this big-ass world, surely there's someone out there.
No, there isn't. Nobody thinks you're cool.
Okay, well, what I was trying to say is you're gonna find someone cool who I don't find cool, and I'm gonna find someone cool who you don't find cool, and that just leaves us with the question, what is cool? So to answer this question, I need you to think of the coolest dude on the earth, and I'm about to guess, okay? You got it? Yeah, alright. I'm not the fucking Akinator. I'm not about to guess who you're thinking of, but I can guess with 100% accuracy who you're not thinking of, and that's Mark Zuckerberg, okay? How did I know that? Because if you think of Mark Zuckerberg as the coolest guy in the world, you're fucked, alright? Like, there's no helping you. Like, click off the video. It's wraps for you, bro. But how could Mark Zuckerberg possibly help us get cooler? I mean, look at the guy. He's practically oozing uncoolness as we speak. But that's important because if being cool is subjective, we need something objective to look at. And objectively, Zuckerberg gets no bitches. Like, let's just look at the numbers here. I mean, this guy's the CEO of Meta, but he's also the CEO of being a uncool lizard nerd guy. And if there's one thing I've learned in my studies of coolness, it's the art of minding your own goddamn business, okay? Like, let's compare George to Bob, who let's just say both aced the math test. Hey, Chains, what'd you get on the test?
Fuck, I got like a 65%.
Oh, that's really good for you. That's good for you. Yeah, I actually got 100% plus the bonus question.
Oh, wow. Nice, bro.
Billy, what'd you get on the math test?
Math test? The dog. I could have swore that shit was chemistry.
Nope. It was math. And, I got 103%. Bob, what'd you get?
Whoa,
110? There was only one bonus question. That's impossible.
Oh, kissy face. Bob, did you pipe the teacher?
And that's probably why Zuck over here is so uncool. He's minding a million people's businesses, probably looking through their cameras and shit like... Yeah, fuck you, Mark. And the most important trait for being cool is having confidence. You just can't be cool while shivering your timbers, bro. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, well, I guess it's over for me then. And no, it's not over for you, bro, because confidence is the most fake it till you make it shit ever. Like, you're not gonna say the perfect thing every time. Lord knows I don't. I'm pretty sure I say the wrong thing every time. But if you say that shit with your chest, people let it slide, bro.
And I said, no, I wouldn't suck your dick for $20.
Oh, well, that makes one of us.
Well, that makes one of us. Oh, okay. I love this guy.
Now, that's the type of confidence that's gonna take you from a level 1 crook to a level 100 mafia boss. And with that power comes responsibility. Some dudes will become a level 100 mafia boss and start picking on other people because it makes them feel powerful. But a cool guy doesn't yearn for power. He yearns for... Fuck, what do you yearn for, bruh? Damn, he's so cool. Now, being cool comes along with being calm and collected. Like, if someone walked up to you trying to fight and you started running away screaming for your life, I don't think anyone's looking at you like,
damn, that's one cool-ass motherfucker,
bro. Yeah, bro, the way he hit that high note was cool as hell. Shit, maybe I could be like him someday. Now, I'm not saying you gotta go all Jackie Chan on the guy, but you do gotta stay calm and think logically. Like, let's see how cool you are. What would you do in this situation? A, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. B, just walk away. C, give him a little kiss on the forehead. Or D, do the stanky leg. And the correct answer is... any of the above, bro, because it's not about what you do, it's about how cool you do it. Except maybe the stanky leg one. I don't think anybody can look cool doing the stanky leg. But doing any of the other options, you could look cool as hell. Like, A, strike first, strike hard. Boom, one punch knockout, that's cold. But if you throw first, miss, eat shit, not cool. B, walking away, you're cool as hell, unfazed. Unless you get jumped from behind and get your ass beat, not cool. C, give him a little kiss on the forehead, assert your dominance, you pretty much just made him your son. But if you miss... well, now you're just kissing a dude, so... yeah. Now, even though being cool is all about how you do things, there's a few things that nobody can look cool doing, like riding a scooter, chasing a bus, taking pictures with an iPad, chasing paper in the wind, using VR, washing a cucumber, waving. You look nerdy as fuck. Eating a cupcake, tripping, getting out of a restaurant booth, pickleball, and literally anything to do with Starbucks. Hi, can I get a caramel ribbon crunch frappuccino with 2 extra pumps of vanilla and the
soy? You're not cool, bro.
What? Now let's take it back to the element of mystery for a second, cause this is the step that will either have people seeing you as a cool ass dude, or they'll just assume you're shy, or possibly on the spectrum, bro. Listen, you gotta talk, bro, or else people have nothing to go off of and they'll start filling in the blanks themselves. Whoa, wait, so I gotta talk to be cool? Yo, Chains, what do I say? Whatever the fuck you want, bro.
No, wait, really?
Yeah, bro, the truth is, the key to being cool is being yourself. And I know that shit sounds corny, and it is, but do you think the coolest dudes on earth give a single fuck about what you think? Hell nah! They're way too busy being cool, bro. You gotta be like a peach, man. Some people hate peaches, some people love peaches, but at the end of the day, the peach is gonna be a peach. So here, take these sunglasses, and if you haven't heard it today, you're a cool ass dude, bro.
Yo, I just got robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. Who's with me? You know, like anyone. Yo, anyone. Yo. Yo, is this not relatable?
Bro, ain't no fucking way.
Nah, bro.
What the fuck does that even happen?
Not again, bro. Now, I'm not gonna lie. Japan is one of the safest countries in the entire world. And apparently, there's only 3,065 homeless motherfuckers in the entire country. So, in order to get robbed by a homeless dude in Japan, you either need to be unlucky as fuck or just a complete dumbass.
But
way back when this story took place, I was a certified dickhead, bruh. At the time, I had the critical thinking skills of a newly born chimpanzee, mixed with the spatial awareness of a fucking Joe Biden, on top of the decision-making skills of Joe Biden's son. So with that being said, this story takes place way, 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 way back a few weeks ago when me, Bob, and Billy hopped on a flight to Tokyo. And as soon as we arrived in the city, we started absorbing all that food, bro. Sushi, ramen, fucking cow testicles, you name it, we ate it. And after an entire week of decimating every last crumb of food in Tokyo, we thought,
well, that was fun. I guess it's time to go home.
Yeah, I guess so. And as we're ready to pack it up, we overhear a few people talking.
Oh, hey, konnichiwa. We come from the United States of America. How do we go to Osaka?
Yeah, man, Osaka has some of the best food in Japan. Just take this train right here and you're there.
Wow, your English. Very good.
I'm from Washington, dipshit.
Oh, I see. Washington, dipshit. Is that Chinese or...
Holy shit, did you hear that?
Yeah, no, that guy's fucking clueless.
No, I'm talking about Osaka. Apparently the food's even better over there.
Oh, shit. Yeah, but, don't you think we had enough food already?
I mean, shit. We are in Japan.
Fuck it, bro. Let's go.
So we hopped on the train and got off in Osaka. And like the certified fat asses me and the boys are, we were looking around for some food. And the moment we seen all you can eat Wagyu beef for just 30 bones, we all knew what had to happen. We walked in that bitch and wasted no time. We were running through that meat like Tiana Trump in her prime. Cause sometimes we were burning the meat, sometimes we were taking it raw. But at the end of the day, the meat filled us up and made us happy. So we thanked the owner, left the shop, and headed back to our hotel. And man, I was full as hell for like an hour. And then I was like, yo, who's trying to get some more food?
The fuck? Bro, we just ate a whole goddamn cow.
Yeah, we did.
Like, we probably just canceled out the life work of 5 vegans in one sitting.
Tight shit.
And it's already like 8 p.m., bro. It's dark as hell.
Well, I'm gonna go out anyways. You know why?
Why?
Cause we in Japan.
Man, get your fat ass out this goddamn hotel.
So I got my fat ass out the goddamn hotel and started walking around. And all I took with me was my phone, the key to the hotel, about $100 worth of yen, and a smile on my face, knowing I had never in my life been robbed by a gay homeless dude in Japan. But little did I know, all that was about to change on this wild ass Friday night. Now, if there's one thing I learned about Japan, it's that everyone there is very kind, extremely polite, and a raging alcoholic. I'm talking they clock out of work at 6 p.m. and they clock into the bar at 6:02, and they don't leave until... I mean, shit, they don't leave until it's time to go back to work, bruh. Cause the Japanese people work hard, but their liver works harder. But regardless, I'm casually walking through the city when I hear someone yell from across the street.
Yo.
So naturally, I'm like, yo. And they're like,
come here.
And I'm like, shit, okay. So I walk across the street and see 3 individuals posted outside this little bar shop thing like,
yo, I'm Yuto. This Emi. This is twin sister Shigo.
Hey, it's my first day working here. Come inside.
Shit, I don't know. I'm just trying to get some food somewhere tonight in Osaka. I don't know if it's like...
you want Osaka fucking night food?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I want Osaka fucking night food.
Reads a sign.
Osaka fucking night food. Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough. Shit,
I know what? Come get shots. I pay.
Shit, we in Japan. So they take me inside and everyone there is just happy as fuck. They got Rihanna playing on the speakers, dudes bringing out shots, and the chef was turning up so hard, dude started twerking, and damn, that boy was cooking.
Bro, what?
Shit, I mean, like, he was cooking with the food, like, man, fuck!
But the vibes were just so good and inviting that I felt like I just got welcomed into this Japanese family. And so we all cheers and take the shots. And now I'm drinking, and I'm drinking with only one goal in mind, and that's to keep up with my newly found Japanese family. And so to prepare my stomach, I get me some Osaka fucking night food, and it was scrumptious. But as I'm slurping up this kebab, I see Emmy come back with 3 more shots, and she's like,
you want one?
Shit, we in Japan. So we take the shots, and I'm talking to Emmy, and one way or another, we start talking about our alcohol tolerance.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it takes a lot for me to get drunk.
Not as much as me.
Whoa, is that a bet?
Yeah, it is. So we're drinking everything in sight. Vodka, soju, sake, tequila. It's a competition. Now, I made the bet in the first place because I'm twice her size. But one thing I forgot to account for was the fact her entire lineage had been training generations for this very moment. So she's taking these shots to the face like... well shit, like Tiana Trump in her prime, and I'm going shot for shot with her. And after taking about 8 shots, I was feeling it, bruh.
Yo, let's go play darts.
I mean, I never really played darts in my life, but shit. We in Japan. So we pull up to a darts bar, just me, Emmy, and Yuto. And I had never played darts a day in my life. But you ever just try some shit and you're just inherently good at it? Yeah, right? Right? Yeah, that shit was not me, bro. I was dog shit. I was out there looking like I was drunk as hell. I was drunk as hell. Cause in order to play, each person had to buy a soju. So now I'm about 12 shots deep, throwing darts, trying to hit a circle the size of a pea, while this little Japanese girl's pushing me and shit. Cause to her, this was a game. To me, this was survival. Cause every time you lose, you gotta take a shot. And if I keep taking shots like this, these shots about to start taking me, bruh. And sure as hell, I lost the first game. I took my shot and Emmy's like, how drunk are you right now? And I can't let her know I'm losing this bet. So I'm in that bitch like, drunk? Nah. Shit, where I'm from, we brush our teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Ah, okay. Then loser takes 2 shots.
Yeah, let's do it. So one thing leads to another. Now I'm 16 shots deep. And Emmy's like,
I'm gonna go to the washroom. I'll be right back.
And then Yuto's like,
yo, Chains, we must talk.
Oh, shit. Yeah, what's up? Now, Yuto had a strong accent and very limited English. So it really went some like,
Emmy, bomburu.
Huh?
Emmy, have bomburu.
Yo, Yuto, no, I don't speak Japanese, dog.
No, Emmy, use bomburu. Swipe left, swipe right. Bomburu.
Oh, shit. Emmy uses bumble. Okay.
Yes, and she texts the bumble guy. Come here.
Oh, hell nah, bruh. I'm gonna have to abort mission.
Me too.
You too?
Hi, Emmy to you, daddy. Fuck Emmy.
Oh shit, facts, let's do it. So we sneak away to the elevator and we're spamming the up button trying to leave and this shit is just not coming, bruh. So we both peek around the corner to see if she's coming and she notices us.
Oh shit, guys, we're leaving?
Yeah, we are leaving. Fuck. So we all get in the elevator and Yuto whispers in my ear like,
when the elevator open, we run.
And I'm drunk as shit, but I was the fastest kid in my elementary school. So as soon as the doors open, we hauled ass, bro. And I just kept running till Yuto was like,
stop, we go to bar.
And I'm just having a great time existing at this point. So I walk into this bar all drunk like,
where the hoes at?
Oh shit. Where the bros at? Yuto took me to a gay bar, bruh. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with a gay bar, but it was the fact that after drinking 16 shots, I just sprinted full speed away from a cute Japanese girl to run straight into a room filled with a bunch of sweaty gay dudes. And these motherfuckers were looking at me like I'm some fresh meat or some shit. And it really just had me questioning my entire life. I was in that bitch confused, frustrated, drunk as hell, ready to crash out. I was gonna leave that bar looking like, I would like a
fruit explosion.
What, no, Sebastian, what the wrong video? What the fuck?
Oh, hey, is that Diddy?
So you're trying to see a fruit explosion, huh?
So I left the gay bar, called up Emmy, we link back up, and the first thing she says to me is,
fuck you.
Fuck me? What? Nah, fuck you.
Why'd you run from me?
Bruh, you were inviting bumble dudes and shit.
What? No, what are you even talking about?
I mean, Yuto said, like, you know what? Don't even worry about it.
Okay. Well, let's go to the club.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan. So we're at the club doing club shit. And after an hour or so, she's like,
let's take some shots.
And I'm like, shit, we in Japan. I am blackout drunk, bruh. I don't even know how many shots deep I am at this point, but all I know is I'm so drunk, I gained the ability to fucking teleport. So I'm in the club, and as soon as I blink, I'm in a bar. Then I'm in a club, back to a bar, to a new club, McDonald's, bar, karaoke club, bar, love hotel.
Love hotel? Man, what? What the? What? Man, what the fuck?
You said you wanted to sleep. Damn. Yeah. Yeah, nah, I probably said some shit like that. I don't fucking know. So we walk into our room and the very first thing I notice, the hub on the TV, vibration devices on the bed, protection everywhere. Shorty just lured me to the Japanese freak chamber, bruh. I blink and we teleport to the bed, but we were just talking like,
yo, Yuto said you were inviting dudes from Bumble.
Oh my god, okay, Yuto's a liar. Listen, I gotta tell you something, but you can't tell anyone.
Yeah, nah, I won't tell a soul, you know? I will not post this on YouTube, clip it up, post it on TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Reels, or anything like that, you know? Like,
Yeah, that'd be weird. So Yuto's homeless.
Wait, what?
Yeah, like, he just goes to the gay bar and then goes back to a dude's house and sleeps there.
Damn. Oh, man, I didn't even know.
And then he steals their money.
Wait, he what?
Yeah, he just steals their money.
Wait, but it's just the gay dudes, right?
Yeah, it's mostly just the gay dudes.
I check my pockets, the money's gone.
Fuck.
You said it's only the gay dudes.
Yeah, nah, he just steals from the gay dudes.
Fuck, I wanna go home, bruh.
So I leave the Love Hotel, and at this point, the sun is coming up, and I'm still drunk as hell, walking like a zombie. I pull out my phone to go use Google Maps,
and that shit dies, bro.
So now it's just me and my last few brain cells trying to make it to my hotel before I pass out. And I'm stepping over Japanese motherfuckers, blackout drunk, sleeping on the sidewalks, thinking I can't end up like them. But honestly, I have no clue where I am, no clue where the hotel is, and no clue what time it is. And after what felt like hours of aimlessly walking around, I blinked and I fell asleep, bruh. And when I woke up, I was in my bed. I genuinely don't know how, who, what, when, or why, but shit, I wasn't complaining. But by the time I got out of bed, it was 6 p.m. and I didn't remember shit. I had to go through my camera roll and piece everything together like The Hangover. But at least that Friday night, I learned a very valuable lesson. Try to outdrink the Japanese motherfuckers, bro. You'll lose every time.
First dates have the potential to be magical, fantastical, romantical, a night you will never forget. But they also got the potential to be straight booty. I mean, first dates are just a gamble, bro, especially if it's from a dating app. Like, you could show up to your first date with a 5'4 blonde Tinder girl and end up finding out she's 5'9. And she's brunette. And she's a dude. I mean, first dates from dating apps is kind of like buying one of those SpongeBob popsicles from an ice cream truck. Like, you know it's not gonna look the same as the advertisement, but the question is, how fucked up can it really be? And let me just say, extremely fucked up. I'm talking massive buck teeth, eyes crossed with a bite taken out of it, and I'm not talking about the popsicles. And these are the exact reasons my very first date was not from Tinder. Also because I was in grade 7. And that would be illegal. And when I was in grade 7, I was 12, as most grade 7s were. And for whatever reason, me and my homies loved going to the mall after school. Which was weird, cause we had no money. So after another successful day of walking around and being too broke to buy anything, we walked back to the bus terminal by the mall, and as we walked up to our bus stop, we see these two girls waiting there. And the closer we got, the more familiar these girls started looking, until we realized one of them was in our class. And so we walk up to them like, yo, are you Kate? Oh shit, Billy Bob and Chains, what's up? Oh, nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm good. This is Jessica, she's new to our school.
Hi.
What's up?
Hello, Jessica.
What brings you guys to the mall?
Oh, nothing much. Just walking around and not buying anything because we don't have any money.
Yo, us too!
And so we all get on the bus and we're just talking and shit for a good 20 minutes until my stop comes up. So I pull the thingy, but before I get off the bus, I ask Jessica,
yo, Jessica, do you Snapchat by any chance?
Yeah, I do. Let me add you. What's your Snap name?
And I remember I had some shitty-ass username, like, oh shit, it's, MLG Pro No Scoper Illuminati Confirmed.
Yo, kid, get the fuck off the bus.
Sorry, one second, please. Where was I? MLG Pro No Scoper Illuminati Confirmed.
And when I got home, I went on Snapchat, accepted a request, and we started talking. And we snapped all night to the point I was smiling, kicking my feet in the air and shit.
Yo, I'm coming in.
No, wait, don't. I'm beating my meat. Wait, shit.
Yo, what boy has you smiling like that?
Boy.
It's a girl.
Man, shut the fuck up.
Oh shit, you're serious.
Wait, so the whole time you're watching Powerpuff Girls?
It just had a good plot.
Okay, bro. Okay, so this is what you gotta know.
And my brother started running me through the do's and don'ts of being in a talking stage.
All right, listen. Don't text her too much, but don't text her too little. Don't talk to too many other girls.
Yep, nope. That won't be a problem right there.
Yep, I know, buddy. And you also gotta talk to her at school.
So the next day at lunch, Bob, Billy, and I walk over to Jessica and her two friends, and we start talking again, and we make plans to go to the mall together. And boom, all
of a sudden we started forming a little friend group. It was me, Bob, and Billy with Jessica, Kate, and Nikki. And we started hanging out damn near every day, hitting the mall, buying nothing, going to Nikki's house, doing nothing. But we had fun, and so inevitably, Bob and Kate start having a thing, Billy and Nikki start having a thing, and that just left me and Jessica. And so one late night, we're on Snapchat with my feet kicking in the air faster than ever, and Jessica hits me with a, "So, I've been thinking, well, I like you. I like you back. So..." And I typed up, "Do you want to be my girlfriend?" I fucking threw my phone across the room, nervous as hell. I get the notification, and when I go to check what she said, she was like, "Yes, I do. And call me Josh Giddy," the way I just bagged this 12-year-old. But the next day at school, when me, Billy, and Bob walk up to our girlfriends, I started getting all nervous and shit. There was something about the title of being a boyfriend that just had me shitting bricks, bro. It was like, "Hey, Chains, how are you?" "Oh, you know, I'm good." how are you?" "Oh, I'm good." But now that all three of the boys had acquired girlfriends, Billy was like, "Hey, why don't we all see a movie this weekend? Like it'll be a triple date."
"Yeah, that's a great idea."
Yeah, let's do it. It's a date. Triple date. Yeah. Fuck, yeah." And by the time the weekend rolled around, I was still terrified of the fact that I was going on a date, and to be honest, I was also scared of the movie, bro. We came to watch It, which as a 12-year-old sounded like straight nightmare fuel, bro. But nonetheless, me, Bob, and Billy hop on the bus and arrive at the movie theater, fashionably late. And so when we walked through the doors, there was our three little girlfriends excited for our first dates. So we all walk up, hug, and then go to get our tickets. And I dropped my entire life savings on her ticket, and then go into debt for mine, but nonetheless, we head to the theater.
"Wait, should we get popcorn?"
"Oh yeah, of course. Hey man, how much is a large popcorn?"
Large popcorn, that'll be $10.
"Damn! What happened? Are you okay?"
"Yeah, I just realized they ran out of popcorn."
Are you fucking stupid?"
"Yeah, no, don't worry. Thank you, man. Is it no problem? Have a good day."
And we got to our seats and sat down, and the movie began. And as the movie progressed, I realized it wasn't even too scary, but about 20 minutes deep, I get a tap on my shoulder from Bob. And he gestures to me the fact that him and Kate are holding hands. And I look over to Billy and Nikki, and they're all cuddled up and shit. Which meant I had to make a move, bro, which inconveniently made my hands start sweating bullets. So now I was in a position where I couldn't just grab her hand while my shit was sweaty as hell, cause then she'd think I'm weird. But then I also couldn't just sit there and do nothing the whole time, cause then she'd also think I'm weird. So I just started doing the only thing I could think of, which was blowing on my hand like some hot soup, and believe it or not, made me look fucking weird. But at least my hand was dry, so I go and hold her hand, but when I do, I make a grave mistake. A tactical error, bro. When I held her hand, my hand was on top and hers was underneath against the armrest, and my dumbass was scared I was gonna crush her arm or some shit. And I don't know where I got the idea that I even could crush her arm from, bro, cause those 12-year-old stickman arms couldn't crush a fucking pretzel if they tried. But for whatever reason, I decided my best option would be to hover my arm slightly above hers so my 1-pound arm couldn't come down and fucking demolish her forearm. And you know, this was cool for about 60 seconds until I started feeling the burn, which started hurting so bad that I forgot I was even watching a movie. I was just 100% focused on thugging this shit out. And about an hour into the movie, I was just fucking shaking relentlessly. I mean, at this point, it wasn't even about not having this girl think I was weird, cause Lord knows it was too late for that shit. But now it was about proving to myself that I could finish the movie this way, and sure enough, I did. But at what cost?
Wow, you were so scared you were shaking, huh?
No, I wasn't scared at all, actually.
Oh my god, are you sweating?
No.
So, you know, looking back, it wasn't my best performance, you know what I'm saying?
But with that being said, after that triple date, Billy's girlfriend Nikki ended up breaking up with him and gave up on dating dudes as a whole. So, I mean, it could always be worse, bro.
Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, leprechauns, unicorns, two pretty best friends, and love. They don't exist, bro. I've looked far and wide. I've searched the depths of the valleys and the highs of the mountains. And yet still,
One of the friends always gotta be chopped, bruh. But love too, though, man. I've searched everywhere. I've scoured my hometown. I've gone from the coast of Mexico to the cities of Japan. But one way or another, I always just end up with nobody to love. Or I end up getting robbed by a gay homeless dude. I mean, I was down bad, bruh. It got to the point I thought maybe I just wasn't meant to find a girlfriend. Maybe this was just a face only a mother could love.
Ew, get that shit off the screen.
What? Ma!
So I hopped on a flight to Barcelona, and this story takes place a few weeks ago. It's a new continent, new city with new people, and maybe even a new girlfriend. And so as soon as I stepped foot on that Spanish soil, I downloaded Tinder and got the swiping, bro. Fine shit, swipe right. Cute shit, swipe right. Chop shit. Swipe right, bruh, it's a numbers game. I done swiped so much my thumb had a six pack and I ran out of girls to swipe on. But shit, I mean, it's a numbers game. And since I pulled up solo dolo, I went and checked into a hostel. Now, if you don't know what a hostel is, it's pretty much like a little hotel, except you share your room with like six other motherfuckers. But to be fair, you save a lot of money. And I low-key don't mind sleeping with some random dudes if it means I get some extra change in my pocket, you know what I'm saying?
Is 15 enough?
Nah, the hostel is like 30-something.
Oh, nah, I don't need a hostel.
What? Wait, no, not like that, bro. Anyway, sleeping in that hostel was fucking crazy, bro. Like, first night I got there, I hopped in my little twin bunk bed and closed the curtains, and everyone was like,
"All right, good night, boys.
Sweet dreams.
Love you, motherfuckers.
Love you too,
man. Y'all, motherfuckers. Yo, motherfucker on the top right bunk, say it back.
Good night.
And
I love you.
Love you too, bro. Lights out."
So the sun came up and my ass didn't get a drop of sleep. But regardless, I got out of bed, got some coffee, explored the city, hit the beach, got some food, all the normal shit you do when you're in a new city. But after a long day of tourist shit, I went back to my room. I went back to our room. I hopped in my little bunk bed and prepared myself to open up Tinder after letting that shit cook for a solid 24 hours. And when I open that shit up, yo, I got 28 matches.
Yeah.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Now, I'm gonna keep it a buck. Initially, that number 28 was looking mad nice until I clicked that shit and started looking through my matches and realized, yo, this shit is not a numbers game, bro. Like, you know you're cooked when the chuds are sliding on you saying shit like, "Hey, yo, I'm trying to put you in chains for real and then touch your stick, man." Yeah. Yeah, nah, I'm deleting this shit, bro. And just as I'm about to give up on my dreams of finding my other half, I get a new match. It's Yvonne, straight dime, certified fine shit, bro. I had to slide in with some heat. So I'm like, "Yvonne? Nah, more like King Vaughn, because I'm trying to take you to the O. Of marriage." Now that would be a crazy story. Opening bracket featuring Lil Durk, closing bracket. And before I send her some absolute bullshit like that, she hits me with a, "Hey." Oh, yeah, no, that works. "What's up? How are you?" "Great, how are you?" And we end up having a marvelous conversation. We share a bunch of beliefs, perspectives, and above all, we got the same taste in music. So I'm like, "You free tomorrow?"
"Yeah, I'm free tomorrow."
"What's your favorite food?"
"I'm a drinks type of girl."
"Say less, I know a place." "I don't know shit. I literally just got here, bro."
"Okay, see you tomorrow."
And just like that, I just got myself a date.
"I'm coming."
"Nah, you can't come. It's my day, bro." Hell no. So that night, I did a little research and found the coolest bar in Barcelona. But when I went to make a reservation online, they only do in-person virtual queues. So instead, I went to sleep. So the next day, I woke up with some pep in my goddamn step. I looked at some fire architecture. I hit a mean leg day. Ate some gas Spanish food. And before I knew it, it was time to get ready for my date. So I hopped in the shower, put on my toughest fit, sprayed on a little Valentino, hopped into Uber, and arrived at the bar 30 minutes early. So this way, I could join the virtual queue in order to get into the bar at 9 p.m. sharp. So I'm waiting outside and find shit
messages me like,
yo, I'ma be a little bit late, I'm still doing my hair.
And I'm all like, that's no problem, I know some people, I can make some calls, don't worry about it. So I walk up to the security out front like, yo, so Fine Shit says she's gonna be a little bit late, can I change the time or something?
Nah, bro, just rejoin.
I bet. So I rejoin, go sit outside and wait, and then I get another text message.
I'm so sorry, but my makeup took longer than I thought, so I'ma be a little extra late.
So I walk up, rejoin the queue, and security's like,
yo, what's going on?
Ah, it's nothing. Fine Shit's makeup took a little longer than expected, you know?
Hey, listen, man. This Fine Shit of yours, you sure she's even coming?
Nah, yeah, nah, of course, that's Fine Shit, she's coming. So I go back and sit down outside, but looking back, I definitely gave her the benefit of the doubt, but that was her first red flag. So now it's about 9:40 p.m. and I get a text message from Yvonne that reads, I'm here. So I go to link with Yvonne for the moment of truth, whether or not I'm about to go on a date with Fine Shit or 50-year-old neck-bearded catfish shit, and fortunately for me, no catfish.
Change.
Yo.
Hey.
What's up? Now, the virtual queue still had 10 minutes before we could get in, so we go and sit down outside and have a little chat. And it's a great conversation. We got a lot to talk about, and the vibes are there.
So you could travel to Barcelona alone. What do you do? Is it daddy's money?
Yeah, it's daddy's money.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
But I'm daddy.
Yeah, no, I need to drink some alcohol.
Yeah, no, me too. My phone beeps and it's our turn to go inside, but this is no regular bar, so I'm like, yo, just follow me. So we enter this pastrami shop, I open the fridge, we go inside, and we go through this tunnel that leads us to the bar. We order our drinks and continue talking.
Okay, so if it's not daddy's money, then what do you do?
And so obviously, I just told her, like,
OnlyFans.
You're lying.
I am dead ass serious. My meat is all over the worldwide net.
What? No way. Show me.
Oh, shit. Like, nah, shit. Maybe after a few drinks, you know what I'm saying? And right on time, our drinks showed up, and my shit was radioactive, bro. Like, here's a picture. There are no filters or effects on that shit, and I'm not gonna lie, it tasted exactly how it looked. But regardless, I'm tanking that shit, and I don't know what it is, but that shitty-ass drink was giving me superpowers, bro. That shit had me cooking up the greatest answers to her questions possible, bro.
Okay, so if you had one wish, what would it be?
Damn, that's a good question. Shit. Okay, if I had one wish...
Mm-hmm.
Period cramps.
What?
I would rid the world of period cramps, man. I hate the fact that they exist. Just even thinking about it, like, ooh, they sure do get me riled up, man. I hate them.
Wait. Me too!
Nah, that's crazy. We have so much in common. And from that moment on, I could tell she took down her guard and got comfortable. Cause she started saying shit like,
this guy from my school is obsessed with me and he won't stop snapping me.
Damn. Maybe she should stop responding or some shit.
She snaps a picture of us and captions that shit.
He getting it and you not. Lol. Red flag number two. What kind of anime villain origin story are you trying to create for this motherfucker, bro? But I digress. We order the second round of drinks. But as she's sipping that shit, I can hear an accent starting to form in her speech. So I'm like,
yo, where's this accent coming from?
Oh yeah, nah, when I drink, my French accent starts coming out. And I kid you not, she went from one drink sounding like,
yeah, so my favorite food is pasta?
To drink four, deadass talking like,
actually, I changed my mind. My favorite food is croissant.
Shawty turned from Fine Shit to French Shit so fast, I didn't even know who I was on a date with at this point. And then she hits me with a,
I'll be right back.
She grabs my face and hits my ass with a big ass swoosh. Now that shit took me aback. I was not expecting it. However, maybe it's just a culture thing. Maybe it's normal for her. So I can't say that it's a real red flag. So she's still in the game. And when she comes back, she's like,
yo, chains, let's go to the beach.
Say less. So we're walking down to the beach and she says some shit like,
so when's the next date?
Oh, it's on Saturday at 6 p.m.
Oh no, I'm not free on Saturday.
Oh, you mean date with you? Yeah, nah, this is the last one. Now I said it as a joke, but she wanted to get all mad and shit and storm off. Now in this situation, I have two options. Option A is chase after her and beg her to stay. And option B is standing there like an absolute peak male specimen to the point the gravitational pull of my testosterone retrieves her back to the very location she left. And I went with option B. And she came back, bruh.
You're supposed to chase after me. It's like a French thing.
Ah, okay.
I'm not French, bro. So we continue with our walk, and I'm cracking jokes, entertaining her and shit, but honestly, that little stunt shorty pulled back there was red flag number 3 for me, bro. So at this point, I'm not in it for the game of love. I am simply just in it for the love of the game, bruh. So we arrive at Barceloneta Beach. We sit down, and at this point, it's about 1 a.m., but we're still chatting, having a good time. But out of the corner of my eye, I see a man hooded up walking towards us from the darkness. And as bro's approaching, I'm ready for anything. I'm getting ready to take a stand, throw some hands, get in the sand. Should I even go band for band? But if this dude gets any closer, I'd be damned, and this motherfucker hits us with a drive-by compliment.
You have a very beautiful girlfriend.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you?
Damn, do you think he'll find a girlfriend beautiful like me?
Yeah, nah, he seems like a great dude. I'm sure he could find somebody.
What?
I said, yeah, nah, he seems like a nice fella. This girl slaps the shit out of me and says,
you're supposed to say nobody's as beautiful as me.
Bro. In this moment, I had never been so unattracted to a girl in my life. Am I tripping? Or did you just slap the shit out of me? And then she tries to kiss me again, talking about...
I'm sorry.
Nah.
What? No, what?
And even after getting my shit absolutely Will Smith, I'm still trying to be polite. Like, listen, I don't kiss girls on the first date.
You don't kiss girls on the first date.
Yeah.
So, you're telling me for a living, your occupation is laying down that pipe on film and then proceeding to post it online and you can't kiss me.
Type shit. And she storms off, bro, but I know exactly what to do to solve this problem, so why stand there like an absolute peak male specimen to conjure up that same gravitational pull? And she's still walking, bro. She just kept walking. She got on the bus. She dipped, bro. She left. Damn. And as the bus disappears in the distance, I hear a motherfucker say, yo, you from here? Nah, I'm just visiting. Oh shit, okay, us too. You know where the good clubs are at? Yeah, I mean, I heard all the good ones are like right there, bro. Oh shit, bet. Okay, we're about to go hit those if you're trying to pull up, bro. Say less. So these two random ass dudes I just met and I start heading to the club together, and I'm like, yo, where you guys from, by the way? We're from France. Yo, that's crazy. I just had a date with a French girl. Oh, no way. How'd it go? Ah, shit. You know, I think it went pretty good. That's what's up, yeah. So
why is your cheek so red?
Oh, I mean, she just slapped the shit out of me.
Wait, she what?
Nah, I mean, it's probably just a French thing, you know what I'm saying?
Not a French thing, you just got assaulted.
Aw, shit. So me and the new French homies pull up to the club and it's jumping, bruh. We start taking shots, shooting shots, airballing shots, and then I get a bunch of voice messages from Yvonne talking about,
all the good feelings I had for you are gone. You are a literal piece of shit. Go get AIDS filming for OnlyFans, bitch.
Oh, hell no.
Wait, let me respond.
And I'm drunk as hell trying to say a nice response. Like, you know, like, it's really like, it really is the type of shit where like type shit. Like,
and the French homies take my phone and start cooking her ass in French.
Now, I didn't understand a single word that came out of their mouths, but it sounded like homies just dropped a career-ending diss track on her. And I say that because as soon as she opened it, she blocked my ass, bruh.
Hey, bruh, you know what they say.
What do they say?
Getting blocked's a whole lot better than getting cocked.
What? There is no way they say that.
Yo, three-man alert.
So the two homies start laying down that French wrist, and that shit hits so hard, I just got a free entry, bruh.
Hey, English.
Room for one more? So the six of us absolutely fucked the club up, went out for some 4 a.m. churros dipped in chocolate, and man, that shit hit harder than Yvonne, bro. So at the end of the day, even if I didn't end up finding love in Barcelona, there is one thing I did find. I did find out how Chris Rock felt. God damn. Man, way back when, there was a time when you couldn't catch anyone under the age of 30 chiefing a vape. Until one day at Vaporizer Laboratories, they were cooking up and made a flavor that would change the game forever. Cotton candy. Now this revolutionary flavor forced these grown ass 30-year-old men to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves,
damn,
What do I look like as a grown-ass man sucking on this goddamn cotton candy stick?
So they do what any responsible adult would do. They give it to their children. I mean, shit, kids love cotton candy. All of a sudden, business is booming for Vaporizer Laboratories, so they start cooking up even harder. Boom, Sour Patch Kids juice. Boom, applesauce juice. And boom, baby food juice. These babies will be sucking that shit like a soother. Kids' first words will be looking like,
oh my god, honey. Jackson's gonna say his first words.
Oh, let's hear it. Yo.
Yo, Pops. Well, let me bum a hit off that 50 Nick Guava Ice, G.
Yo, just wait till they drop that breast milk flavor, bro. Shit, these newborn babies won't even know what hit them. They'll be returning customers for life, which will probably be like 12 years max. Now, the reason I say all this is to let you know that vaping not only intruded my high school years, but also my years in middle school. I was first introduced to these bad boys at the ripe age of 13. And with a little bit of that good old peer pressure, I folded, bro. Like, what was I supposed to do, bro? Like not take the hit?
No, I
probably should not have taken a hit. But from that point on, I started doing a little dabbling, you know. I mean, as a 13-year-old, there's only one answer to someone asking, yo, dude, you want to try a hit of this blueberry guacamole milkshake ice flavor, dude? And that answer is, abso-fucking-lutely, dude. And I was never a fiend or anything, but I will say, I popped a few ghosts and blown a few O's back in my day, but it had never gotten to the point of me owning a vape. Until one day. This story takes place way, way, way back in grade 7. Me and the boys were posted in science class dissecting cow balls or some shit when Mr. Principal burst through the door like,
"Is Tessa here?"
Yeah, she's right there.
And I look at Tessa and she just tosses her vape over to her homie, Kate. And I seen that shit clear as day, but Mr. Principal's old ass must have forgot to wear his contacts or something. Cause he runs a quick pat down on Tessa looking for said vape, but sure enough, he doesn't find it.
"Miss Rhodes told me you were vaping in her class. Is this true?"
"No, I would never."
Okay.
And then the bell rang and everybody knew what that meant. It was Nut Break. Now, I don't know who the fuck decided to name our recess Nut Break, but I will say, most of the students understood that that shit was short for Nutrition Break. However, some kids took it a little too literally. Weird ass school, man. But this specific Nut Break, you best believe, me and the boys weren't busting nuts or eating nutritional foods because Billy had something else on his mind. Yo, who's got you smiling like that?
Who, me? Nah, it's nobody. It's nobody.
Yo, wait, you got a crush on Tessa?
What? Tessa? Me?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a crush on, yeah.
Oh, sick. Go talk to her, bro.
Talk to her.
No.
Bro, it's simple. She's new to the school. She's probably looking for some friends. So just walk over and introduce yourself.
You're right. I'm just going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I
did I just sell that shit?
Yep. You did.
Then the bell rings and we all go to PE class. Now in my middle school, your class was your class. You just have the same students and the same underqualified teacher teaching everything. Like, Lord knows Mr. Donaldson shouldn't be teaching PE, but shit, here we are. And so while we're playing dodgeball, I'm trying to coach Billy on how to confess his love for Tessa, but I'ma keep it a buck. I was speaking straight out of my ass, bro. I don't know the first thing about confessing love. Listen, bro, I'm the expert when it comes to confessing love. All you gotta do is walk up with confidence, introduce yourself, and then ask her to be your girlfriend, bro.
Okay, simple. Let's practice.
Hey, Vanessa. My name's Billy and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Damn!
And after the proper training, by the time lunch came around, Billy was prepared to do what had to be done.
Alright, listen, bro. Whatever happens out there, me and Bob got your back. And remember, the worst she can say is no, bro.
Alright, I'm ready.
You got this.
Hey, Vanessa. I'm Billy. I seen you in science class today, and you were looking very pretty, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Fuck no!
She laughed, bro. She laughed in Billy's face. And he walks back to us with tears in his eyes.
She laughed at me, bro.
Well, at least you know what they say.
What?
If you can make her laugh and giggle, you can make the cheeks clap and
jiggle.
Not
right now, bro.
You're right. Too soon. Needless to say, that brother Billy went home that night, listened to Juice WRLD, and cried himself to sleep. Shit, the next day, Billy didn't even say a word, but I could hear Lucid Dreams on full blast in those earbuds. Man, it's a tough sight to see. Next thing I know, Mr. Principal bursts in the class talking about,
"Alright, Tessa, in my office, right now."
Now, I don't know why she was in trouble, but whatever she was accused of, she's guilty, bro. And she's also guilty on 1/3 degree count of breaking my man's heart. And as I'm busy praying on Tessa's downfall, I get a little tap on my shoulder like, "Psst, take this. Mr. Principal's looking for it and he's not gonna check you."
Whose is it?
It's Tessa's.
Don't worry, it's safe with me.
And it was safe with me. Cause that shit was now mine. The only way she could get it back is if she repaired my boy Billy's heart, and that just wasn't happening.
And soon enough, Tessa comes back from Mr. Principal's office and she didn't say a word.
We had nut break, nothing. We went to PE, nothing. And then we went to math class. And as I was chilling in math class, calculating the square root of pi and shit, I get a tap on my shoulder again. "Psst, Tessa wants her vape back."
Vape? What vape?
The one I handed you this morning? You know, it was purple.
Oh, that vape. Oh.
Yeah, no, I threw that shit in the bushes. So she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, and she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, etc., etc., until Tessa finds out, and she looks pissed. So she whispers to her friend, who whispers to her friend, etc., etc.
What bush did you throw it in?
Oh, the one out back. And to put it in perspective, the bush out back was fucking massive. It was this huge conglomerate of straight prickle bushes, and so pretty much, her vape was gone, bro. And I went to sleep that night with a smile on my face, knowing I not only saved Tessa's lungs, but also Billy's heart. The next day, I went to class, sat down with the boys as always, but something was different. Tessa and her homies were nowhere to be seen. I shrug it off and continue to make some groundbreaking studies in science class until I hear Billy like,
"Bro, no fucking way."
So I turn around to not only see Tessa and her friends waist high in prickle bushes looking for this vape, but I also see Mr. Principal forcing them to do it. Now this was truly a beautiful sight to see revenge play out this perfectly. Like, Billy was sitting at the window the entire class watching him do a whole search party for this vape that was posted in my pocket. And just when I thought Billy couldn't get happier, the next day Tessa and her friends had to present a PowerPoint to the entire school on why vaping is bad.
Vaping is bad because when the vape enters your lungs, it's not good for your lungs.
Man, karma is real, because not only did Tessa understand how it felt to be laughed at, but the next day, my friend came up to me like, "Can I use that vape for the day?" And I wasn't using that shit, so I said,
"Yeah, sure."
And at the end of the day, you'll never guess what she told me, bro.
"Yo, you still got the vape?"
No, I threw it in the bush out back.
Man, there's a lot of questionable places on Earth, like the Bermuda Triangle or Area 51 or even this place. But none of these places can compare to the questionability of high school. And so inevitably, there's some weird ass kids in that joint. Like, you gotta be careful who you talk to, bro, cause you approach the wrong student and shit. You're getting cussed out by a pack of hyenas in social studies class. And usually I never care what other people do. Like, you do you, you know what I'm saying? But when I gotta sit through that shit for 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, shit, can you stop doing you for like 5 minutes, bro? And speaking of annoying kids, there's always that one kid in class who's constantly gargling on the teacher's meat. Like, we'll be finishing up the last class on a Friday, and of course the teacher's pet's gotta say some shit like,
"Mr. Cumminson, is there no homework for us to complete over the weekend?"
Believe it or not, I'd rather not spend my weekend marking your shitty ass little essay, so.
Don't worry, Mr. Cumminson, I can help you mark essays all weekend long.
Whoa, isn't that against school policy?
Well, what's against school policy?
Riding Mr. Cumminson's dick with no license?
Hey, you're not allowed to swear.
And of course, the class clown. And man, I really just gotta commend him for his work. Like, it's not an easy job being the class clown. Dude threw out his entire GPA, future, and probably got his shit whooped on multiple occasions just to keep the class entertained. Like, I'll be rotting in English class, about to fall asleep, until the class clown starts cooking the teacher for no apparent reason.
And next we're looking at adjectives. Does anyone have any good examples?
Yeah, Jason.
Bald as shit?
Oh,
well,
shit.
No, that's actually three words.
No, I wasn't even using an example. You're just so goddamn bald. Yo, it's distracting.
God, hey, damn. You know what they say. The more hair I lose, the more head I get.
Stop the cat.
No. I don't think that's true, Mr. Clean. Because you got more hair than you got hoes. And that says a lot with your Caillou looking ass.
Yo. Just go to detention, man.
And you know we got the Redditor, bro. Now, don't be deceived. Redditors can come in all shapes and sizes, especially the extra large size, and even the extra extra large size. But regardless, they all have the same programming encoded into their brains. They're either talking about a video game or they're quoting a meme, bro. And I got a little piece of advice to any Redditors out there. I don't care how funny that shit may be in your head, if you have to verbally describe what a meme looks like, for your sake, just don't say it, bro, because I promise you that joke will not hit.
And next up we got Darren presenting a slideshow on why Elon Musk is poggers. Whenever you're ready.
Me standing in front of the class waiting to present.
You know that meme where Mike Wazowski is standing there in an awkward fashion with his hands by his side and he's got like two eyes.
Now there really is levels to being a Redditor. And don't get me wrong, they're not all that bad, but the ones that got that I pause my game to be here tea paired up with the beer belly neck beard combo, that shit is lethal. And if you press E to interact with one of these bad boys, you'll get stuck in an endless time loop hearing about Among Us memes and hentai. Now the band kids are like the Redditor's second cousin. Like it's all the same shit, but bro just knows how to play a tuba. Now on the opposite side of the spectrum, we got the dudes who touch grass. The athletes. Now I feel like these dudes got a bad reputation when it comes to the jock stereotypes from the movies. Because the ratio of athletes shoving nerds in lockers is probably like 1 in 75. And the one was most likely just having a bad day. Speaking of bad days, getting shoved in a locker really has a way of ruining your day, and you really gotta feel bad for the nerds who have to endure this type of harassment every single day. Well, actually, it's only every other Tuesday after their football practice. Yeah, but you shouldn't have to be shoved in a locker at all. You shouldn't have to be. That's grammatically incorrect. It's actually supposed
to be.
There's really just three types of smart people. The first dude, you wouldn't even be able to tell bro's smart because he's just lazy as fuck. He'd be acing every test using 1% of his brain power. Like, he's got that Elon Musk potential, but shit, he just doesn't really feel like being a billionaire today. Or on the other hand, we got the weirdly political and argumentative smart dude. This guy used up all his IQ points on logic and reasoning and completely forgot to upgrade his social awareness. Because this is the kind of guy that everyone mutually agrees is just annoying as fuck. Like, you can't do shit around this dude without him trying to start an argument. Yo, Chains, you think I sink this half-court shot? Bro, there is no chance you make that shit. But, you are incorrect. No chance implies that statistically there is a 0% chance that it goes in, which is wrong, as others have made this exact shot before Billy. Truthfully, there's a chance for just about anything to happen, even though the chances may be slim. Well, that's cap, because there's no chance for you, bro. No chance for me to what? You gotta be more specific.
For you to get some bitches!
And some people are just smart, and they still have the ability to be a normal functioning member of society. A lot of these people are chill as fuck. Like, they can teach you shit you don't understand, carry you in group projects, and if they're goated, they can just bless you with the homework. And this is not the same is getting your homework from the class clown or the athlete, because this shit is actually correct. And next, we got the other dudes who touch grass. The stoners. Why are you looking at me? There's always a dude posted up in the back of the class who's visually fried as fuck. You'll commonly see him posted up with a snack of some sort, and you know they never forget the Bev. Now you don't want this dude's homework, because I promise you we will just have a bunch of doodles with some mushrooms and this graffiti S, and somehow these motherfuckers will manage to take a multiple choice test
and get every answer wrong. Like, it's actually kind of impressive when you think about it. But besides that, they're just cool people. But I'm not gonna lie, I can't really say the same about the Hot Cheeto girls, bro. Like, these girls put in an effort to be as loud as possible. Like, Lord forbid, if one of these girls breaks one of their long-ass nails, it doesn't matter if you sit on the opposite side of the class, you're gonna hear about it. You're also gonna hear them chewing those Hot Cheetos, cause they be lip-smacking like crazy. Speaking of smacking, there's always that one kid in school who simply enjoys smacking motherfuckers. And at my school, it was Jordan Johnson. And if you see my high school fights video,
that's why you don't mess with me, yo. I'm Jordan Johnson.
Or my high school dances video,
I'm Jordan Johnson.
You would know, Jordan Johnson keeps a solid ass record, but it's at the point where bros fought so many people that nobody really even fucks with them. Cause now it's like either you fought Jordan Johnson or your homies fought Jordan Johnson, and either way, it's fuck Jordan Johnson. But all bias aside, you just gotta appreciate the top tier, high value entertainment that JJ brings to the school. Like, after a long day of calculus and chemistry, there's nothing like watching a dude get Batista bombed in front of the whole school. And speaking of the whole school, 75% of the whole school are straight NPCs. And there's nothing wrong with it. It is what it is, because honestly, I love you for that. I couldn't be happier to share the school with you, my man. Because I'm not going to lie, I don't think I would survive a school without NPCs. The sheer amount of Redditors, Hot Cheeto girls, and teachers' pets... Fuck, I'd rather be homeschooled at that point. But all jokes aside, man, every student plays a crucial part of the high school experience. So remember to appreciate everyone. Man, the very moment my Stickman lips graze the tip of that sweet, sweet Zaza, it's wraps for all the food in the fridge. And as soon as that THC tickles my brain, it's GG's. The food in my closet is already consumed, bruh. And shit, when I run out of food in the crib, I give my condolences to the local McDonald's workers. Cause man, I'm about to have those motherfuckers working overtime. Now listen, man, shout out to all my big homies out there, but I'm gonna make it clear real quick that I am not one of y'all. In fact, I make sure that I am precisely 64 pixels wide at all times. However, I will say mentally and in my heart, I am a little bit of an EDP-445. wait. No. I like food. What I was trying to say is that I like food, and usually I can resist food, but once that devil's lettuce gets a hold of my brain, I become a certified fat ass. I'm talking 750 pixels wide at least. I'm eating anything in sight, and as soon as I run out of food, I go to a new site and eat everything in sight again. And honestly, this shit is becoming a problem, bro.
No shit, buddy, your arteries are clogging.
Yeah.
And your blood pressure is through the roof.
Yeah, that too.
And you're developing type 7 diabetes.
Whoa, type 7? I thought there was only two types.
There was, until your fat ass decided to eat 87 ice cream sandwiches. How the fuck do you stomach 87 ice cream sandwiches?
Anyways, man, the munchies are lit, bro, because it's the only time you can truly taste each individual atom as it hits your tongue. Like, eating some good food while high is like a meditation, bro. Like, when you're zooted munching on some Doritos and you start closing your eyes, shit, you might just fuck around and become the Dorito. Now, this happens to me on a routinely basis, and as heavenly as that experience is, I must warn you, when you come out of your Dorito coma, you will be at least 5 bags deep in that motherfucker, and your hands may never be the same. Man, I'm still trying to recover to this day. Yeah, my Doritos still taste like fingers, bro. And if staining my fingers orange and developing a new type of diabetes sounds bad, my munchies addiction gets worse, bro. Because when you combine the zooted desire for food with the distorted judgment of the baked brain, shit, that's the perfect equation to put me into crippling debt. Especially back in the day, because as a youngin, the only thing I was cooking was my brain cells, bro. So that meant I had to buy food. And to put it into simpleton terms, well, I was broke as shit. I remember one hot sunny day, me and the boys were chilling at a carnival with some of our other boys, and one of those boys whips out his dap pen. And so of course everyone flocks around that dude and chiefs the fuck out of his dap pen, and 15 minutes later, that shit hit. But you know what hit even harder? The goddamn munchies. And so there I was, walking around the carnival, absolutely blasted, with $50 to my name, looking for something to eat. And don't get me wrong, the carnival had lots of options, but they were really taxing out here, and for a dude with 50 bones to his name, I needed to find the most bang for my buck. And there I saw it. It was beautiful. A pink ice cream truck glistening in the summer sun. So you know I had to hop in line, and as I'm waiting in this line, the dude in front of me turns around, and he's like, damn bro, you look high as giraffe balls, dude. What? Me? Nah, what? Me? No.
Hey, don't worry, dude.
I am too.
Oh, shit.
So me and my newfound homie are just chopping it up, talking about how sensational this ice cream is about to be, and soon enough, it was the homie's turn to order. Yo, dude, let me borrow one of those cookie dough ice cream cones. Alrighty, here you go. That'll be $12.
$12, bro? That's like half my net worth. Trust me, it's worth it, dude.
Yo, let me get a cookie cone. Alright, cookies and cream, here you go. And as I licked that thing, man, that shit was sensational as fuck. But as I turned around, I seen the baked homie step into a pothole and absolutely fumble his ice cream cone. And I'm not gonna lie, that was some of the saddest shit I ever seen. So I go walk over to give him some of mine. Hey man, you want some cookies and cream?
Oh shit, thank you man.
Bro, did you just drop both of our $12 ice cream cones? Fuck. Then we were back in line like nothing ever happened. But man, waiting in that sun, my mouth was parched and my eyes were dry. And by the time we made it to the end of the line, I was looking like dried up SpongeBob, bro.
Hey, it's you again.
Can I get the cream?
Yeah.
And at last, after dropping half my net worth on ice cream, I took a big bite of that ice cream cone and man, I felt every sugar granule, every atom, every proton and electron contained within that bite. And for the time being, the munchies were cured.
Listen, bro, in this world, there's levels to clout. You could get yourself some Instagram followers. You could stack up a few bands. You could even be famous, but there's only one spot in life that is superior to the rest. A spot so glorious and sought after that they are idolized like no other.
It's me. I've got the infinite money glitch.
Come on, Jimmy. You know it's me. I need a max win.
Man, shut the fuck up, Drizzy. I'm literally Kanye West.
Nah, but I'm the top G.
All right, Lo. Bro, let's go band for band then. It's me.
But I'm the fastest kid in my school. Bro, I don't know who decided speed would be the deciding factor for who's the king of the school, but all I'ma say is, that motherfucker's the GOAT, bro, because I was the fastest kid in my school. I was clapping everyone in races, I was breaking track records, and I had all the 9-year-old baddies, man. I wish I could still pull like that.
Alright, it's just a miscommunication, you know, like when I say 9-year-old baddies, I didn't mean
explain
like-
Explain it to the judge, buddy.
Sick fuck.
And because I peaked in elementary school, come with me and we'll take a look back at some of the first years of our lives and maybe some of the best, am I right? Kindergarten. Coming into kindergarten, kids were either excited or terrified as fuck for their first day. I mean, I would be pretty fucking pissed too if I knew this was the beginning of me being locked up every day for 13 years. But kindergarten was funny as hell because these kids had no clue what was right and wrong, so they'd be saying the most outrageous shit for no reason at all, bro.
Hey, buddy with the hat, can you pass me the skin color crayon?
I mean, at this age, kids were just walking NPCs, and I can't even blame them. I mean, they haven't developed consciousness yet, bro. Like, at this age, recess consisted of catching bugs, playing on the monkey bars, and fucking eating sand. And I've talked about the high school bathrooms and all the wild shit that happens in there, but to be honest, the elementary school bathrooms blow that shit out the water, bro. Because these kids aren't hitting vape tricks, no. They're hitting toilet trick shots, trying to set some world record for the farthest piss taken from the toilet. And let's just say even Stephen Curry couldn't splash that three-pointer, so essentially, motherfuckers was just pissing on the ground. Like, you need to walk into that bathroom 110% alert, or else the next thing you know, you're getting that R. Kelly treatment.
compliment, bro.
And I remember my kindergarten had those green, yellow, and red cards to show how good you were that day, but there was always that one kid with the permanent red. I'm talking the teacher didn't even bother to change his shit the next day, because everyone knows as soon as he walks into class, he's doing some fuck shit. For me, it was this kid we'll call Dennis, because he was a menace, bro. He was always loud, always throwing shit, but besides being a menace, he was also a truth speaker, a fact spitter, for better or for worse, because this little guy had no filter. Okay, Leah, you're up first for our show and tell.
Okay, I brought my favorite painting of mine. This right here, this one's me, and this is my dog, Peanut Butter.
That shit is bad!
Dennis, what did we say about saying the truth out loud?
I mean, not the truth. I'm talking about, like, he was the only dude I knew who could talk over the quiet coyote. I mean, to this day, if I see one of those things, I just can't talk. Like, I just can't talk over it. I mean, maybe he's gonna eat me. I don't fucking know.
But there was one thing that could shut Dennis up, and one thing only. Boy-girl seating arrangements.
Dennis always had so much to say until you put him beside Isabel and Leah, and all of a sudden it's like,
hey, what are you drawing?
Nothing.
Aw, is that your dog?
Maybe.
Shit, he's just like me for real. Like, to this day, you know?
Oh, shit.
And then we go outside for lunch, and don't get me wrong, eating sand for fun was great and all, but as kids got older, everyone started to play games, some of which consisted of tag, manhunt, soccer, basketball, grounders, red ass, kickball, jump rope, tetherball, and what is possibly the most goated game of all time. Foursquare. This game was legendary, bro, but this shit used to get heated as fuck. I mean, kids were making truces, making whole clans, and that right there was real beef. Like, if you caught the ops lacking at nap time, it was on sight, bro.
Psst. What?
Oh, no, wait.
You're a poopy
no.
Head.
But man, crushes were everything in elementary school. Like, if you told anyone you had the smallest crush on a girl, word's getting out fast and the entire class is gonna be organizing a wedding for tomorrow. But some kids just didn't use their words. Like this one girl in my elementary school who most definitely had a crush on me. I mean, once again, I was the fastest kid in my elementary school, so... As I was saying, this girl had a crush on me, but she didn't like using her words, so essentially, she just beat my ass. I mean, what better way to tell someone you like them? And she must have really liked me, bro, because you could see it when I came home, like, oh my god, Chains, what happened?
Oh, well, I think this girl at school likes me.
Oh, yeah, that's great, but why do you have so many bruises?
Well, Mom, I think she really likes me.
No, I think you need to go to the hospital.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And there was also that one kid who went around teaching people swear words just cause he could. And of course, when I learned some shiny new words, I'm gonna use them. I mean, I still fucking do. But I remember just talking with my friends, dropping the F-bomb, feeling cool as hell. And then one time, I see this girl hauling ass over to the teacher and whispering in her ear. And I already knew what was going down because this girl was the biggest snitch known to man. Like, unprovoked. It was like a hobby or some shit. Her. And her name was Erin. Like, her real name was Erin, spelled E-R-I-N. Yeah, how's it feel to get snitched on, buddy? But getting in trouble in elementary school was tough, because they would act like you were committing war crimes for the smallest things. Like, when I got snitched on for swearing, I was in grade 4. I was a big boy, you know what I'm saying? But my teacher was pissed, bro. Chains, you can never say that word. It's horrendous.
What does horrendous mean?
It's not good, okay?
Aw, shit, my bad.
Chains!
Aw, sorry, it's just stuck in my fucking brain.
Chains, cut it out right now or you get detention.
Okay, I'm sorry, motherfucker. What?
And I'm not gonna lie, the most cursed part of elementary school was the talent shows, bro. Cause the teachers expect you to be all quiet and serious and shit, but it was literally a real life try not to laugh. Like, how am I supposed to be serious when Jimmy's up there shitting out Minecraft parodies like it's comedy gold?
I mean, at my school, it was less of a talent show and more of a come on stage in front of the entire school and do whatever the fuck you want for 10 minutes type of show.
And man, that shit was brutal.
It was like watching paint dry. But if the paint was 7 years old and standing on a stage in front of the entire school nervous as hell shitting his pants.
Cause elementary school had some weird kids, bro. Like those kids who used to put glue on their hands to let it dry so they could peel it off.
Or the kid who would just straight up eat the glue.
Or the weird kid who would secretly take a bite out of every single foam football. Like, how are you that hungry?
The kid who only wore shorts through rain and snow.
The kid who was mad at everyone for no reason.
The kid who wouldn't stop yapping.
The kid
kid who always had to flex how strong their dad is.
My dad is so much stronger than yours, he can beat up your dad with his pinky finger. He can bench press 625 pounds.
Wait, what even is that?
You don't know what a bench press is?
No. What the fuck is a dad?
The kid who thought he was Albert Einstein. The snitch named Aaron lives at 354 Stickman Way.
The fake snitch.
Bro, you won't believe what I just did.
What'd you do?
I just put my juice box in the recycling. Get this. With the straw inside.
I'm telling the teacher. Teacher.
Jackson.
Yeah, can I go to the bathroom?
The teacher's pet named Aaron, E-R-I-N, postal code 3310. And of course, the fastest kid in the school. You know what I'm saying? That was me. I was him. I was the fastest kid in my...
Bro, in life, there's so many things you can cheat on. Like, you can cheat on your diet. You can cheat on your girlfriend. You can cheat on your barber. You can cheat on your girlfriend with your barber. Shit, you can even cheat on your taxes. So compared to everything else, cheating on a little math test is not that bad. Like, compared to your taxes, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit.
Hey, we've all cheated on our barber, but you cannot cheat on this math test.
Oh, shit.
Damn. Bro, I know we've all cheated on our girl, but you cheated on me, dog.
Oh, shit.
Babe, I know we cheated on our taxes, but you cheated on me?
Oh, shit.
Listen, in our entire lifespan, we've all cheated on something. Whether it's a game of Uno, your girlfriend, or your other girlfriend, it's usually not worth it. Because congratulations, bro, you won the game of Uno, but now you have to look yourself in the mirror knowing you're a cheater and a liar that has three Uno cards up his ass. But when it comes to school tests, cheating is 100% worth it, bro. And I'm not condoning cheating at all, but let's just think about this logically. Like, why are we at school in the first place? We're at school to learn things and skills that we can use in real life. Now, are we really using trigonometry in real life? Well, effectively, this depends on what career.
Hell nah, bro. It was a rhetorical question. We are not using trigonometry,
but you know what we will use? Creative thinking, communication, social awareness, logic and reasoning, and most definitely our fucking phones. All five of which are strongly developed through the act of cheating on a school test. And on top of becoming a better human, better grades, it's the ultimate win-win. Your teacher feels like they did a good job teaching, your parents think they didn't raise a dumbass, and if you're good enough at cheating, you might just fuck around and get into Harvard. But once again, I am not condoning cheating, you know, just throwing that out there, you know, but yeah, as I was saying, you shouldn't cheat, right? Like, it's bad. Cheating is not good, but you do know what they say. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Facts!
Yeah. Wait, no. What? So if cheating in school is so valid, why doesn't everyone do it? And that's because if you get caught... Let me tell you, bro. This story takes place in grade 9 when me, Bob, and Billy were some straight freshmen, bro. And coming into high school, you get your shit absolutely clapped by double the workload. But lucky for me, Bob and Billy were both in my math class, which meant we had triple the studying power. But we also had triple the fucking around power, and we used that shit to its maximum capacity, bro. But you know what they say, the more you fuck around, the more you find out. And when we got our first test back, shit, we found out. We found out we're a bunch of dumbasses who were about to fail grade 9 math, and we couldn't let that shit happen. So for the next test, we studied extremely hard. Off George's math test during the test. I mean, we were cheating with maximum efficiency. Like, we had a whole assembly line where Bob would look at George's test, throw up the number, and Billy would pass it along. And all of a sudden, our grades are making the meanest comeback Mr. Mathinson had ever seen. I mean, life was great. We went to school, cheated, played some Fortnite, succeeded, browsing history, deleted, and then repeated. I mean, we were just living life with no worries until...
The polynomials test.
I walked into this test thinking, psh, I know what a polygon is, I should be chilling. And when the teacher handed out the test, I was bewildered to see all these fucking letters on my test. Look, like, is this math class or English, bruh?
Yeah, I think I got the wrong sheet.
Huh? No, that's the right test.
Well, what's the deal with this?
I mean, that's just polynomials.
Dog, I can name every single polygon, but who the fuck wrote Elon Musk's son name on my goddamn math question?
Yeah, chains. That's what we call a variable. It's called a variable.
Yeah, I know. I know that. And I knew it before you said it, too. Cause we learned about it in class.
Yeah, right. Right.
Now, this would have been extremely bad if we didn't have the ultimate method we like to call George. Because George was one of those dudes who loved studying. Like, he'd wake up and go to school, then come home and study till he dropped, bro. Like, if you kidnapped George's whole family and told him you'd only give them back if he answered this equation, this motherfucker would just be happy he got more homework, bro. And because of this, we had a little deal going with George. If he let us cheat off his math test, we would teach him how to be a normal dude. We were teaching this kid how to dap someone up, how to use slang, and all I'ma say is, this motherfucker should have just stuck to math, bro. Yo, Chains, sauce me a bite, big dog.
I got you.
Shit, Chains, you just busted in my throat, gang.
Hey, yo.
George, what you just said right there sounded gay as hell. Type shit.
No.
So as I was saying, I'm looking at this math test with more letters than numbers, and it would have been raps for me if it wasn't for the George method. So I'm looking at Billy, Billy's looking at Bob, and Bob's looking at George's test, and we're absolutely flying through this polynomials test. And about halfway through, I look up to get the next answer, and I get jump scared by Mr. Matheson mean mugging my shit. And you can see it in his eyes. He knew exactly what was going down, and he took me, Billy and Bob's tests and took us to the hallway.
What do you guys think you're doing?
Polygon.
I'm pretty sure it's like Paul.
Why did I see you three throwing up your fingers during our test?
Well, you see, Mr. Matheson, we're gang affiliated.
No, bro, what? What the fuck?
All right, you three, cut the shit. I caught you cheating. All three of you are getting zeros on this test, and I don't want to see it happen again, or I'm contacting your parents.
All right, it won't happen again. You're right. We're not in a gang, by the way.
Yeah, I know, buddy.
Well, shit.
Yo, what happened to you jits? Are you chilling?
Bro, Mr. Matheson caught us lacking real bad. Yeah, he gave us all zeros on the test.
Holy shit, it sounds like Mr. Matheson just absolutely railed you guys. No cap.
And all three of us proceeded to absolutely shit the bed on all of our next tests. And it was at the point where our grades were on life support and our math final was coming up. So if we didn't get our shit together for this final, our parents were about to put us on life support with that leather belt. So we put our cheating ways in the past and locked in, bro. We were focused in class, and after, we went to Bob's crib and kept studying there. And then it clicked. We all finally understood polynomials. And so the next day, we walked into class confidently, knowing we were equipped with hours of studying. We lock in, sit down, and then the teacher gives us our test. And as soon as we lay our eyes on that very first question of the test, we were fucked. Now, don't get me wrong, we could do polynomials all day long, but we forgot this was a final, meaning we forgot to study numeracy, exponent laws, rational numbers, linear relations, inequalities, geometry, probability, and statistics, and in other words, we didn't know shit. And before I can even make eye contact with the boys to tell them I'm fucked, these motherfuckers are already hopping back on the George method. And listen, bro, as you can tell, I'm no mathematician, and I did not study probability or statistics, but from what I'm seeing at this very moment, I have two options. I can do the test legitimately and have a 99% chance of failing grade 9 math and getting my shit whooped while simultaneously having my entire family realize they raised a dumbass who won't go anywhere in life and is destined to draw Stickman for all of eternity, or I could cheat. So we're out here hitting the George method, and I'm being extra careful, cause if we get caught lacking twice, it's complete and utter raps for us, bro. So we're grinding out the method, then the teacher looks up, boom, we're locked in on our own tests. He puts his head down,
back to the method. And there was a few times in there I thought we were cooked, but we just kept it pushing. But still, we were low-key running out of time, and I had a whole page to complete. And God bless this random-ass dude's soul, because he raises his hand to ask a question, and as soon as the teacher turns his back on us, it's crunch time, bro. It's like double XP right now. Bob was out here throwing up these numbers so goddamn fast, I thought he turned crip for a second. And then the bell went off, and we were all done, bro. We hand in our test, and then it was time to wait. A few classes go by, and then the teacher hands out our math finals alongside our report cards. And nervous as hell, we all check our report cards, and we all passed, bro. So we all go home, happy as hell to show our parents our report cards and the fact that we passed. Chains, you got a 54 in math?
Yup, Mom, I sure did. You raised one hell of a smarty pants.
Oh, fuck. But at the end of the day, even if we all got our shit whooped, maybe the real treasure is the friends we made along the way.
Yo, homies, I'm bricked up right now.
Oh, no. Fuck. There's a lot of things in life that I don't really understand, but if there's one thing I can truly comprehend, it's being grounded. Because in my time, I've served a total of 547 days and 16 hours in the slammer. And through a year and a half of extensive first-hand research, I've come to the professional conclusion that getting grounded is straight ass, bro. You're locked in your room with no phone, no computer, like, what do you want me to do? Think about my actions? Hell nah. Being grounded had a young me doing the stupidest shit ever, bro. Like, I was popping handstands, hitting my head against the wall, playing with the door stopper thingy. Shit, I got so bored, I even read a few pages of a book like an absolute nerd. And now that I think about it, Percy Jackson and the Battle of the Labyrinth was actually a spectacular read. Now listen, there's only one thing worse than being grounded, and that's being falsely imprisoned for life. Well, now that I think about it, there's a lot of things worse than being grounded, but one of which is being grounded during summer, bro. There's something about being able to hear all the happy children, the ice cream trucks, your homies having fun, the hoes throwing rocks at your window, asking you to come outside. Well, you just cry yourself to sleep, because there never was any hoes throwing rocks at your window asking you to come outside. It's just you, your Percy Jackson books, some used toilet paper, and the existential thoughts in your head, questioning if it's even worth it. And listen, I'm sure everyone can pick up on the fact that I'm a really intelligent dude. Smart all around, really, but trust me when I say, I wasn't always this smart, bro. In fact, in kindergarten, my dumbass fully believed with my whole heart that being grounded meant your parents would just dig a decent-sized hole in your backyard, toss you in, and bury you alive for the time being. And so I'm sure you